for the advantage of the Holy Spirit. And if you were not here at midweek, you missed a lot. So I'll try and see if I can do a little recap of the midweek, so you know where we are, so that when I continue, it doesn't look strange. If you have any questions so far on this topic, the advantage of the Holy Spirit, I'm giving 5 minutes for questions. Any question? Who has a question? All right. The advantage of the Holy Spirit. So far, what has been taught? If you have another question, another day.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. The message on the advantage last week was very timely for me. I appreciate you, sir. Yeah, I have a challenge with attribution. So last week, you taught us to recognize the Holy Spirit because he has emotions. He can be grieved and all that. And when you don't attribute him, when he speaks to you, you might be denied, like when you really, really need him to speak with you, right? So
No. We have to get that statement right.
Okay.
It's not like when you don't speak to him, he will not speak to you. You see, but when you don't speak to him, all right, children of God know the voice of God by recognition, but sons of God know it by acquaintance. So when you spend more time, when you say acquaintance, like you acquaint yourself with the voice. One reason why, out of 1,000 women, if my mother calls me, I'll hear it. Why? I've been hearing that voice since I was a kid. So when you don't spend time with the Holy Spirit to know his voice, all right, when it comes to the day that you have a very sensitive thing to know, you don't know the voice. So you'll be doing some guesswork, all right? For example, something like who you should marry is not something that somebody should tell you. When I say that, I mean, someone comes and say that the Spirit told me that you should marry this person. And it's not something that you can take from a dream. Something that's delicate has to be something that you know the voice of God and you know how God communicates with you. And you know that this one, you can defend it anyway. You see, so that's what I mean. So I'm not saying, if you say, Holy Spirit, I'm not talking to you, you say, I'm not talking to you. It's like two girls fighting, all right?
Yes, I think what you just said has answered my first question. Thank you for that, sir. Yes, so last week we had a scripture that's Acts chapter 15, verse 25.
Yeah.
So in the 25, it says that it seemed good to us that being assembled. Yeah, so it seemed good to us. Then in the 28, it said it seemed good to the Holy
Ghost. It seemed good.
For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us.
Yeah.
All right. Then my issue is in the message Walking with God, you said God directs you or speaks to you through your spirit. Yes. And so and that is very true because he that joins to the Lord is one spirit, and the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, right? So my issue here is in Jeremiah, God once said that they speak a vision out of their heart, right? And not out of the mouth of the Lord. So my issue sometimes is, yes, like you said, when your mom speaks or when you say you speak, I can never say maybe it's another person because I know your voice. You are my pastor. Okay, so my issue here is, how do I draw the fine line between what I feel in my heart versus what the Holy Ghost is saying? Reason is like in the journey to Italy, when they were to set sail, Paul perceived that there's going to be danger ahead, right? So in the case where he said it seemed to us, then now he said it seemed to us and the Holy Ghost. How do we draw the fine line sometimes so that if I feel something in my heart, I do not say it's the Holy Ghost, or if it was really the Holy Ghost, I do not say it is my heart. So how do I draw the fine line between when the Holy Ghost speaks expressly and the perceptions or intuitions of my heart?
Okay, thank you. Beautiful question. You know, there is a difference between what you see and what God shows you. There are some things you can see and there are some things God will show you. Now, when you are dealing with the fine line, when you read that scripture, that same scripture, right? So for it seemed good to us, all right? Then in verse 28, he said, for it seems so, the for changes the whole thing. So the for there makes the statement like this. We can collapse verse 26 and verse 27 and just make it verse 25 and 28, which will look like this. For it seemed to good to us. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. You get it? So the reason why it seemed good to us is because it has already seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. That's why they made the decision of verse 25. You see, it's English. And ideally, if it's supposed to follow context, then verse 28 will come first. But it's English. So in the translation, the four changes everything. All right, it's like somebody saying, for it seemed good to us because, you see, so the because changes the whole statement and puts the 28 ahead of 25. It's English. But I get your question. No, there are times that the Bible says Jesus Christ perceived in his heart. You see, that the people were saying this. There are spiritual perceptions. Okay, this is what I'll say. The voice of the Spirit is different from the voice of your spirit. You will know the difference when you start. You know, walking with God is a journey. And along those journeys, there are a lot of things you learn. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I said the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The voice of your spirit is your conscience. But there's a problem with your conscience. The problem with your conscience is that if your conscience is not trained, your conscience can still, that's why some people say, oh, I followed my instinct. Your instinct will not always be right, like your conscience. It's not always right. It has to be trained. You see, so it's one of the things that happens to you when you start working with God. God begins to train your spirit. So you see that there will be a collaboration between your spirit and the Holy Ghost, because as when we check our spirit, soul, and body, the only part that cooperates with the Holy Ghost is your spirit. Your emotions do not want to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Your body doesn't want to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. So you bring, those ones must be brought under subjection. But your spirit always wants to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I rejoice after the truth, after my inner man. So your inner man, which is your spirit, always wants to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. You see, so it's the training. And how do you train your spirit? You train your spirit to have the right, you know, there are times, there are some leadings that happen that are actually your spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, my son, do this, do that. If ever you ever hear any audible voice in your life, it might not pass 10 times your whole life. Because that is not the primary way he leads you. The primary way he said he will lead you is through your spirit. And that's why in the Old Testament, the priest had the ephod, the Urim and the Tumim. It was a type and a shadow of how God will lead his people in the future, which will be because that thing was upon their hearts. So God will lead us through our spirit. But for our spirit to become a sure guide, it must be trained. So when it comes to guidance, you know, the Holy Ghost is very aware that your spirit, when you become born again, your spirit is not so trained. So he will start taking you through small, small trainings. You start noticing that you were going to do a particular thing, and the Holy Ghost said, don't do it. And no consequence. If I do it, there's no consequence. You get it. It's like, why are they stopping me from doing this? Like, for example, maybe you're fasting and you're supposed to break at 3. All of a sudden, you were going for the food, and the Holy Ghost said, no, break at 4. You know? And whether you break or 3 or 4, nothing will happen. But what you are missing and losing is the training. And when your spirit is not trained to follow the Holy Ghost, the day there's a big decision that you need to count on the training that you've already acquired, you will have a problem with it. I taught on hearing from God. This kind of thing, I did it in detail, hearing from God. And I'm sure you can get the notes.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. I think just one more question.
All right, Pastor, thank you so much for this opportunity. And thank you for the teachings and the years of investment. Pastor, last week, that's Wednesday midweek, you made mention that we cannot pray in our heart. And I inferred from the scripture.
In your mind.
In your mind.
Yes.
So we can pray in our heart.
If you pray in your heart, it must come out of your mouth.
Sometimes, Pastor, you are in certain situations and then you may not have the luxury of...
you don't have to shout.
Open your mouth to speak.
Is that?
I said you may not have the luxury of opening your mouth to speak. For example, maybe you are sleeping beside somebody or...
I get what you are saying.
And then maybe it's time for you to pray or you feel the urge to pray. So you wake up and then you don't want to disturb the person beside you.
You don't have to shout. Who has ever been with me in a room praying before? Richmond, you've been with me praying before and we were in the same room, we were praying. Did you hear me? You never hear me. I can be on the same bed with you praying. You never hear me. But it's coming out of my mouth. Can you hear me?
All right. So please, with your permission, can I read one scripture and then...
Go ahead.
So with 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 13, talking about Hannah, he said that, now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved.
Her lips moved, simple.
But her voice was not heard.
Yes, but her lips moved.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
So Hannah was doing my stuff. So I can be here, when I put my hand like this, I can pray for hours, you don't hear me. It was when I was a new Christian. Hey, Cole! Hey, Cole! Hey, Cole! One day, I was praying in my uncle's room. New Christian. Oh, 2 a.m. And they knew when I was not born again. And they preferred me born again. So they could not talk, but they could not take it. Let me tell you, tongues is very irritating. If you don't know. Why is it irritating to you? Because it's not for you, it's for God. So it sounds like I'm very, very irritating. Especially if the tongue is a new Christian's tongues. When I started speaking in tongues, my tongues were very funny. So imagine I'm speaking like this and making noise. You were screaming. We screaming. And the tongues used to fascinate me so much that I'm speaking something I'm not thinking of. That I'll go and take a mirror, I'll be looking at my mouth. You were screaming. We were screaming. It's after I started, when I went to Christ, that's when I started hearing elective tongues. And I started, Lobra Site Kebala. Then I started shaping my tongues a bit. So now I started speaking, tongues that I've gone to Harvard. Segobo Robo Shila. Before that, you get it? Only her lips move. It's very important for your lips to move. You know what? That's a very good place for us to even start because that's actually what I want to talk about. All right. You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, last week I was telling you about, you remember Samson? I said, Samson's strength was not his hair. Samson's strength was the Lord. See, you need to get to that place where you are more interested in your relationship with God than with your answered prayer. We'll look at another story also in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll start reading from verse 28. This is a story of Elisha. He said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Now, let me give you the background to this story. Now, this woman did not have a son, but she was so good to the prophet Elisha that Elisha said, you know what? You're going to have a son. The woman was old and said, Elisha, I don't want a son. I've not said I want a son. Please don't deceive me. I'm a very old woman. Then Elisha said, you're going to have a son. a year by this time. So, at this point in time, this woman has lost a son. The son she got by a miracle has died. So in verse 28, she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me now? She's grieving because the son is dead. Now she knows what it feels like to have a child. She is now bonded with the child. The child is dead. So he said, Elisha, you shouldn't have prophesied this thing. I was okay without the child. So Elisha, in his compassion as the man of God who prophesied this, did not want to go. So he sent a very popular person called Gehazi. You know Gehazi? Then he said to Gehazi, get up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. All right. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. So Gehazi put the staff that Elisha gave him on the child, and the child did not wake up. Verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. So you see, well, when you follow the story, the baby came back to life. So look at the difference between Gehazi and Elisha. Gehazi was talisman minded. Took the staff, went to put it over there. You know, let me talk to those of you who, you know, your it's like some people who heard that, you know, Rhapsody has been raising people from the dead. So they buy the Rhapsody, they don't read it. People who are obsessed with, Pastor, your handkerchief. Pastor, give me your handkerchief. Pastor, give me your chain. Pastor, give, thinking that is the power. You are about to create an idol. You see, the power was not in the staff. Elisha just demonstrated to Gehazi. He said, when he shut the door, on he and the child, it was between him and the child at this point, and the Bible says he prayed unto the Lord. The focus should be the relationship with God. You see, I said something in Model Church, and they were laughing. I said, otherwise, we are also like native doctors or fetish priests. You see, the fetish priest has no relationship with the demons. When he needs something, he goes, he says, hey, kule, kule. You see, and other Christians want to do the same thing. No relationship with God. When something happens, you are the same as the ekule kule. No difference. No relationship with God. No prayer life. It is when trouble strikes that they know where to find God. God has become like a genie, Aladdin. And God does not want that. He desires a relationship with us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. During the leaders' rally, I read a scripture, and I'll read it in the Message translation, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, if you've gotten anything out of at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in communion of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart of care. All right, the point I wanted to make is where he said, if being in the community of the Spirit, the word community of the Spirit, the word he said there does not actually mean like, you see, like a community where people are spirit-filled. No, he's actually talking about friendship. So let's look at it in the Passion Translation. I say Philippians chapter 2. He said, look at how much encouragement you found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his, what's that? Comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit. That's the point I wanted to see. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit. See, remember when I talked about how our friendships shape us? Do you have a deep friendship with the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to, you know, build that friendship and have a deeper and deeper friendship with the Holy Spirit? And I start talking about, when I go to midweek, I start talking about how the Spirit helps. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, he says, I will send you another helper. You like standing? He said, I will send you another helper. So the Holy Spirit is a helper. But during the midweek, I said, there are specific things that the Holy Spirit helps us with. And the fact that the Bible calls him a helper doesn't mean that he'll help you to rob a bank. You see, you have to know what exactly he'll help you with. You see, the Holy Spirit is your navigation in the supernatural. He's your GPS in the supernatural. And because people are not educated to know how the Holy Spirit helps them, they miss it when the Holy Spirit is helping them. Because they were not expecting that. They were expecting the Holy Spirit to go and look for money and come and put it in their hand. Meanwhile, there are things that the Spirit or the Word of God has shown us that this is how the Holy Spirit helps us. You see, so in knowing that the Holy Spirit helps us, we have to also know how he helps us and what kind of help does he render. So we talked about the first help. He helps us in utterance. Anywhere you see in the Bible, you see the Holy Spirit, you see utterance. You see words. So the first time that he landed in this world to the disciples, you look at Acts chapter 2. I read from verse 2. Acts chapter 2 from verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, he says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit gives utterance. So then when the Spirit came, what he gave them was, he didn't give them something, you know, to be shaking them. What he gave them was utterance. What is utterance? You see, when people don't pay attention to these things, they miss the whole road in the supernatural. Meanwhile, they want supernatural things to happen in their lives. You see, utterance. Utterance. And I started with utterance towards God. Utterance towards God. There is a language of the jury. You see, there's a language where we talk to God. Not only, I'm not just talking about tongues. You see, there's a way when you want to have results, when we come to the higher place with God, there's a way we talk to God. Because, you know, you don't have to, you know anything about talking to God. Just talk to God from your heart. You thought the disciples didn't know that when they asked Jesus, Master, teach us how to pray? The efficacy of prayer was not in question for them. They knew prayer was powerful, but they realized that, no, they were missing it somewhere in prayer. Why? Because, you know, in your relation with God, you have to know when he's a father and when he's a judge. In Luke 18, he was a judge. In Luke 18, he was comparing himself with what God would call the unrighteous judge. And he said, he's a righteous judge. You see, in certain places in the Bible, he's a father to whom you go and ask something. There are times you must take your case before him. So you must know the language of the jury. And I said, when you're dealing with small matters, and I said, I used, if you're in your area and you know, the boys were fighting, they're fighting over football. Then, one woman catch the two of them. Why even fighting? Then they will start defending themselves. Say, yeah, he took my body. The one who hit me first. Then this one will say, he's not the one who hit me first. Then we'll look for who is guilty. We lash him and we then we go. We move from there. Do you know what? They were in court. It is a standard court. But if it was a case where bullets were exchanged, they will go to a real court. And you cannot say your mind in a real court. There's a language that is accepted in the court. True or false? Who's a lawyer here? Let me not say my. Yeah, you are. Has been called to the bar. Give me. I want to know. Can you go to court and say your feelings?
No, Pastor. Not at all.
You're also a lawyer. Eh? A student lawyer. Can you say? Can you, you, both of you, I need two lawyers. Can you go? There's another lawyer there. Give me three lawyers. So, you are in court. There's a serious situation. And you want to say what's on your heart. You say, what's on your heart? If you know the judge, she's your auntie, can you say, Rebecca? It's not possible. But what if she's your auntie?
Even if she's your father.
Even if it's your father, your mother. No. Why?
You can't say maybe Auntie Becky or something. You just say my lady.
My lady.
Or her ladyship.
Even with that, you don't even just say my lady or my... You always have to respectfully, with the greatest of respect. And you even have to bow sometimes when you speak to
her. Her ladyship.
Pastor, sometimes you even have to speak to your counsel or your opponent in a way. There's a language you use. So you don't just call them...
To even name. Speak to your...
Yes, your
colleague. There's a language in court.
Yes, please.
Right.
And you have to prepare your arguments. You can't just come and see anything from your head.
No. What if I want to say what's on my heart, my feelings?
It's the law you are going to say, not your feelings.
There's another lawyer here. The lawyers are coming today. What do you have to say about what we are saying? No, face them, don't face me.
Court, okay. When you are speaking in court, when you are presenting your case, you can't just come and talk anyhow. So, for example, both people cannot be talking at the same time, okay, like both sides of the case. You have to wait for your turn to speak. You have to know how to address the court. You have to know at what point.
What if the judge is annoying you?
You have no authority.
No. I'm a citizen of Ghana.
And that, yes, exactly.
In the court, the judge has jurisdiction.
With the law, the judge still has his own or her own discretion. It doesn't matter what the law says. Yes, the law says I should jail you for, say, 20 years. The judge can decide that maybe depending on whatever the case is, I'm going to bring it down to, say, 10 years.
So if the judge uses her discretion and you don't agree, the only thing you can do is to go appeal?
The only thing is to appeal. And when appeal fails, that's it.
Emmanuel is trying to say something. Let's be sure.
There's actually a phrase that actually epitomizes what it says. You say the law is in the bosom of the judge.
True.
So irrespective of what your position is, once the judge speaks, that's it.
But the way the judge is looking at me, I don't like it.
So even in law school, one of the things that basic advocacy are taught, you can't disagree with a judge. Irrespective of how ridiculous his position is, you are representing your client, but the judge has supreme authority.
Yes. Pastor, just to add to what has been said, that there is a language in the court. So you have to, there is courtroom decorum, and you have to at all times show respect to the judge. When you think the judge is being unreasonable, there is a way to go about it. So you say humbly, if my lord or my lady will oblige me. So that way, you sort of play down on their temper. But if you seem to or resort to challenging them, that they would feel disrespected. So there is always a way to go about it. And if you think you really need to plead your cause, you can call on the, we call it...
Okay, I have an idea. If the judge is not going in my favor, I can cry, right? People are not saying, they're not telling me what I want.
Pastor, even with taking your case to court, there's a particular kind of court you go to. The judge does not listen to every kind of case. So each court has a jurisdiction. So if you, for instance, you have a marital issue and you go to a commercial court, you can go and cry, but once the judge does not have jurisdiction to listen to marriage issues, he will direct you to another court where a judge who has to take
care of it. I'm saying that, I mean, a court that is supposed to take my case, but I want to cry. I want to cry so that I can be released.
Pastor, please, just as you always say that you can pray and be crying, God will be touched, but he will not move. It's the same way. The judge will sympathize. The judge will sympathize because a couple of times, it happens in the criminal court, the circuit court, where you find certain...
Okay, let's say the person shot somebody and they've caught him. Go say, judge, I'll not do it again. They will not release him.
No, please. So there was an incident one time where a gentleman from Nigeria had gone to break into a Catholic church. He had stolen some items.
Hey, from a church!
He had stolen some items and even taken offering for the day.
Hey! He took the offering.
When he came to God, he started crying, saying that he had a medical condition, he had to go for surgery and all that. The judge was saying that, yes, I appreciate your condition, I appreciate your situation, but you have committed a crime and you must face the full rigors of the law. So it didn't change anything. The judge was touched, all right, because it was a very serious medical condition, but it didn't change the verdict that the judge was going to render.
So my idea did not work. Do you have another idea for me? Do you have an idea I can use in court? Because like when I say I'm crying, they said they will do not allow. Is there? I should do what? I should collapse. Oh, don't you? I need suggestions. Okay. Wilson said, what if he's in talking stage with the judge? You know what if he's in talking stage with the judge? You have an idea. What's your idea? Come, let's plan. I'll ask them and see. Okay, so what if it's talking stage with the judge?
Yes, so Pastor, there are certain rules that govern the courts. So anytime you take an issue to court, there are rules of natural justice that we play with. The first one is that everybody must be given a fair hearing. And the second one is that a judge should not be, or you cannot be a judge in your own course. Yes, it has the pecuniary aspect of it, but the moment you have an amorous relationship with someone, it is deemed that your judgment will be tainted. That conflict of interest will arise. So you are not allowed under any circumstance. And if it is brought up, any superior courts would quash whatever decision that you would have taken.
Okay. Okay. But let's say in the talking stage, nobody knows. It's between me and the judge. It's between him and the judge. But even if the judge wants to help him, you know what the judge will do? The judge will quote him on the law behind whatever is going on so that when he comes, he will still use the law. That is what utterance is. So God is in the seat of the jury. He loves you, but you can't come and do anything you like. So, he now gives you the Holy Spirit, who now gives you the language of the jury. So then when you go to God, you are his son, but he is legally obliged to listen to you because everybody is there. And the guy is saying everything correct. He is saying, my Lord, this... He said that according to Article 4 million, you see, he's getting everything correct. So one of the reasons why the Holy Ghost was given to us by God is that he will prove us perfect to God. Because man in his natural state will not be able to face a holy God. So God, knowing that he desires a relationship with us, gives us the Holy Spirit, who now makes it possible for us to relate with the God and speak the right language. Thank you so much. So the Holy Spirit, first of all, helps us with utterance. And I gave you the three levels of the utterance. I said he, first of all, helps you with unknown words. That's what we call speaking in tongues. Unknown words. Then he also with known words. So there's the utterance of unknown words. There's the utterance of known words where he gives you words. Like he said, take with you words. So the Holy Ghost, sometimes you're praying and God said, put me in remembrance of these things. It's like the lawyers were saying. They go and quote article. Some of the articles, the judge knows it, but you still have to quote it.
Am I correct? The judge, but you have to quote it in your defense. So he said, put me in remembrance of this thing. He said, plead your cause. So you're making a case, you know, and you're making your case. You're putting forth your strong reasons. You're putting forth the things that should be done, you see, and you're putting the law in there. You're putting the scripture in there. You're putting the scripture in there. You're putting the scripture in there. And while you're putting the scripture in there, the Holy Ghost will be giving you words to use. Giving you words to use. We'll be giving you words to use. Some of these scriptures are scriptures you probably have studied years ago. The Holy Ghost will give you those words. So it is utterance. So the Holy Ghost gives us the utterance of unknown words. That's speaking in tongues. You'll be speaking in tongues. You see, he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Then there's the utterance of no words. No words. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity, our weaknesses. You see, it's a weakness dealing with the Holy God. You see, so the Spirit comes and helps your weakness. He said, what's that weakness? He said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, these are utterances, but they don't come out as cognitive language. See, they're coming out. So you are praying, just notice that you are in tears or you are making sounds. And that's the reason why when people are praying and they get to those kind of stages, they can look funny, never laugh at them because you don't know what is going on in the spirit. So the person is praying, say, oh, oh, oh. You can go and sit down and say, brother, oh. All right, that has to do with utterance towards God. Now, there's also another utterance, but this is utterance towards men. And that's what I want to talk about today, but I'll be very brief with it. Utterance towards men. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll start reading from verse 3. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. For I thank my God also, always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance. You see, you are enriched by him in all utterance. So it's one of the things that God gives you, utterance. Utterance. He said, you are enriched by him in all utterance. Now, in this utterance, like I said, there's utterance towards God and utterance towards men. Let's look at the scripture. Let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1. It said, if I speak with tongues of men, the word tongues over there is the word utterance. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. So it says, tongues of men. So there's tongues of men and there's tongues of angels. So there's utterances that are for men. And the word angels over there is not angels like people flapping their wings. It's like a God fraternity. So it says there are tongues, there are things I will say that have to go towards men. And there are things I'll say that go towards a God fraternity. So you see, there's utterance towards men and utterance towards God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 2. Thank you, Lord. He says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So you see, there are tongues, there are words to men, there are words to God. You see, so there's utterance towards God and utterance towards men. So we're going to look at utterance towards men. You know, one of the biggest things in the Bible is for us to know that anytime the Spirit moves, all right? Anytime the Spirit moves, the next thing you see is a speaking. Anytime you see the Spirit has moved, the next thing you see is a speaking. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, very popular scripture. Thank you, Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God did what? He moved. Now, take notice of the word moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And what happened? And God said. And God said. Moved. And God said. Now, the first time God is speaking in the Bible, he's not communicating with it. He's creating with it. For you to know how powerful words are. I mean, words are so powerful. And utterance is so powerful that the moment the Holy Ghost came, that's the first thing. The people began to have utterance. Utterance is so powerful. The first thing. Why? Because that is your way in the supernatural. That is your way. And because people don't know that this is how the Holy Ghost helps you, they expect the Holy Ghost to help them, yet they don't know when the Holy Ghost is helping them. See, he helps you in utterance. There's utterance towards God. Then there's utterance towards men. Language of men. Let's look at it. So, moved, and God said, then creation began to happen. There was a move, and then God said. There was a move, and then God said. There's a move. So sometimes people are speaking in tongues. They are speaking in tongues. They're speaking in tongues. They don't know that the miracle of the speaking in tongues is the utterance that will be given to them after the speaking in tongues. Because while they were speaking in tongues, there was a move. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost moved and they speak. The Holy Ghost moved and they speak. He said, no prophecies or private interpretation. He said, but the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, number one, under utterance of men, utterance in prophecy and revelation. Utterance in prophecy and revelation. You see, this is how we walk in the supernatural. Thank you, Lord. This is how we walk in the supernatural. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we go to school a bit? All right, let's go to school. Let's pass school some more and come back. The word, W-O-R-D, word, all right, word, okay, does not exist in Hebrew. So if you say to a Hebrew man, modern Hebrew, the one from the Masoretic text, they could have that because it's modern Hebrew. Typical Hebrew, the original Hebrew, if you ask a Jewish man, oh, is this the word of God? The word word does not exist. Why? The Hebrew word that is used as word, okay, is a Hebrew word called dabar or davar. Davar or dabar. Now, dabar in translation does not mean word. Does not mean word. Dabar means a real thing. Yes, it means a real thing. So, when God gives you a word, what you are calling a word, he gave you a real thing. You are calling it a word. English watered down is like an idea. Something has been said. No, it is beyond something that has been said because even say and speak is not in Hebrew. Okay. He has given you a real thing, okay? A thing. Okay. You read the scripture. With God, the angel said to Mary, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Wrong translation. They took the translation to the negative side. That's not supposed to be the translation. Okay. What's the actual translation? He says, with God, nothing shall be impossible, you know? And it's nice. It's a nice thing to say. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But that's not what the angel said. For with God, nothing shall be possible. That's not what the angel said. This is what the angel said. Now, it's because of the infirmity of the weakness of the English language. That's why they translated like this. Now, this is what beats them a bit. The nothing there is not nothing. It's no thing.
no thing. And the thing there is the davar, which is no word. So no word actually from God shall be impossible. You see, because in the, they call it the Lord's language, you know, in spiritual reality, the word is a thing. It's a real thing. All right, let's go. Let's enter small. Okay, speak or say. Say. Does not exist. It's not like that. Say. No. The word to say, or what we call say or speak, means to give a jewel or to give a gift. Oh, that is the reason why when Moses went to spend 40 days with God, when he was coming back, he was carrying a gift. The tablet of stone he was carrying was a gift because it was the thing, it was the real thing, it was the word of God. So you see, what we sometimes downplay, oh, I received a word. Like for example, I stepped here today and for 1 hour plus, we've been prophesying. That is not one, it's like some prophetic, no, it is the thing, it is the real thing. It is the essence, the real thing. Come on now. Because the one who is spiritually minded knows that, no, this is the real thing. No, come on, come on. You went to school. How did they teach you? They put something in your head. With everything they were sharing with you, you began to know. Now, you are doing a job that they are paying you money. What they were giving you that day was their money. What your teacher was giving you is the salary you are taking now. That's what your teacher was giving you. The word. You see, the utterance in prophecy and revelation. You know, God's people are supernatural people. We have what it takes to know what is ahead of us. Oh, bracket, take it. Ah, someone said the past is history. You know, when they want to rhyme, the past is history. Their future is a mystery. No, it's not a mystery. No, it's not a mystery. When you have the Holy Ghost, the future is not a mystery. You know why? Because Jesus Christ said, he will show you things to come. But how? But how? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. Again, he said, the Spirit of God spake by me. He said, the Spirit spake by me. He said, his word was in my tongue. The Spirit spake by me. His word was in my tongue. Kayaba. The Spirit spake by me. His word was in my tongue. So you're speaking in tongue. You're speaking in tongue. You're speaking in tongue. And all of a sudden, some words are coming out of your mouth. You say, oh, increase, 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 increase. Yes, yes, increase, increase. All of a sudden, you start seeing the increase. What God is telling you is that increase is coming. And then you are looking around for the increase. No, it is the real thing you are saying. This is the thing. This is the thing. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. That's why we don't play with words. We don't play with words. We don't play with words. Manto karabaya. Anywhere you see the move of the Holy Ghost, you see men start to prophesy. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 17. It says, in the last day seeth God, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Then he said, your sons and daughters shall do what? They shall not shake, oh. They shall not fall on the floor. They shall prophesy. They'll begin to speak words. They'll begin to reveal the future. Oh, la baso tekeba. Oh, when we are staff week, the man of God, Pastor Chris, was sharing a story. Oh, come on. He was sharing a story about how his elder sister, you know, was sick. Their mom gave her a drug and she almost like mad. She was almost mad. Mount Takaya. Then, they called him to come and pray for her. Because she was saying, when I go to heaven, you people, when I go to this, what's wrong with our sister? So he went to go and pray. He said he was speaking in tongue. He was speaking in tongue. When he was speaking in tongue, when he went forward to go and lay hands on his sister, he said a word came out of his mouth. Hallucination. 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 Then he stopped the prayer. Then he walked away. Hallucination. Why did hallucination come out of my mouth? Then he walked away. Then he went to look for hallucination in the dictionary. And he said he saw. He said looking for causes of hallucination. He said one of the causes was overdosing on drugs. Then he went back, asked the mother, did you give her any drug? He said, yes, I gave her the drug. When they went to check, they have given almost 8 times more. Can you imagine? You see, you should not have the Holy Ghost in disadvantages. When you finish speaking in tongues, some words will come out of your mouth. The Holy Ghost will give you utterance in prophecy and revelation. He'll reveal things to you. Sometimes you are speaking in tongues. You are speaking in tongues. You are speaking in tongues. All of a sudden, you start saying, no accident, no accident, no accident, no accident, no accident. What's the Holy Ghost telling you? The Holy Ghost is telling you, we must crush something in front because something is ahead. The enemy is planning something, but I'm ahead of him. And you tell him, no accident, no accident. Montakalabaya. Lora baka sataya, leko sataya, raka sataya, leko sabradebaha, leko sataya, leko shadababa, raka sataya. There's a word, there's a word, there's a word, there's a word in your spirit. You see, it is carnal people. They use their words for everything. They use their words for everything, so they don't even value their words. Because they don't value their words, they don't even know that it's a place through which God will speak to them. That's a place to where God will speak to them. This is where the supernatural is birthed. There's no miracle without a word. When you want to understand the supernatural, you need to understand words. You need to understand words. Because it's the real thing. It's like a gift. So you see, every time you pray, and the word comes, what God just gave is He just gave you a gift. He just gave you a gift. You say, oh, I want God to give me a gift. I want God. God should give you a gift. What? He should give you a gift. He say, okay, hold on. I'll give you a gift. Then all of a sudden you start praying. Then all of a sudden you just notice that your mouth is moving a certain way. And you are saying, oh, joy, joy in my life. Joy in my life. Joy in my life. Joy in my life. Well, the Holy Ghost just gave you a gift. My future is beautiful. My future is glorious. I see my future. It's filled with the glory of God. It's filled with honor and beauty. It's filled with glory. It's filled with the word of God. It's filled with prophecy fulfilled. It's filled with manifestations of grace. It's filled with the Lord. It's filled with the word of God. My future is beautiful. Now this is the time for you to be speaking now. You know, while we are in this move of the Spirit, you'll be speaking. God said, oh Lord, thank you. My future is what you have planned it to be. My future. Oh, my future. Thank you, Lord, for my future. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my future. It's a future of grace. It's a future of glory. It's a future of ease. It's a future that the Lord is working through. It's a future that the Lord is working in. Oh, utterance of prophecy and revelation. Then you find yourself speaking words. You are speaking words. Oh, God has put words. God has put words in your mouth. Oh, He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those rivers of living water are not just tongues. They are the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because those words, He said, those words shall not come back to Him void. So as you're speaking those words of prophecy and revelation, you are speaking words that can change situations, that can change circumstances. You are speaking words that men will conform to. You are speaking words that are going to change people's lives. You're going to speak words. Oh, come on. Somebody speak words right now. Sa-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Sa-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Oh. Sha-da-da-da-da. Utterance in prophecy and revelation. Utterance in prophecy and revelation. Utterance in prophecy and revelation. Things have been revealed to you. Things have been revealed to you. Things have been revealed to you. Even as you're speaking right now, things have been revealed to you. The Holy Ghost is revealing things to you. As you are speaking right now, words are coming out of your mouth. Oh, makakakakakaka. Oh, so take it. Ebalaba. Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second. Let me add something. Let me add some things to it. Numbers 24. Tolokozina. Mababa baba. Loco. Some people waste the move of the Spirit. When the Spirit moves, then they go and sleep with it. They don't know after the Spirit moves, they are supposed to speak. Takata, 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 takata. I said every time there's a move of the Spirit, it's always accompanied with speaking. It's always accompanied with prophecy. When Saul was anointed king, someone said to him, he said, when you leave from here, it is to prophesy. When the grace comes upon you like that, the next thing is to go and speak, is to prophesy. You don't understand it. And that's what the Holy Ghost came to help you to do. Not there to hand you a bag of money.
No, Balaam had been trying to catch Ovilala. Kalakazata. Kalakazata. Now at this time, Balaam was no longer prophesying doom again. Oh, something happened to Balaam. Bible says, and when Balaam saw that it but he set his face toward the wilderness. I would say he set his ways toward the wilderness. Balaam set his face towards the place that he will see the way. Abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. So Balaam looks. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other time to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then Balaam began to speak some things. He began to say some things. Before he started prophesying, he did something. Verse 3, and he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open. Lift your hands. Now, listen. The guy has not started prophesying, but he's already declaring that his eyes are open. He said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of the man who hears the words of God. Matokabaya. That's verse 4. Just keep moving. Mara, the utterance of, who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with his eyes wide open. Oh, Takaya. Yeah. He said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance. Listen. See, that is the reason why some people don't know. Some people think that those who prophesy in church have a special prophetic gift. You know, he said, upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters. He said, some sons and daughters. Everybody can prophesy. You see, what makes you miss it is that you are thinking some supernatural shall happen. Balaam wants to prophesy. The Spirit comes upon him and he starts declaring the utterance of the Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open. So you see, somebody is asked to prophesy. He picks the mic and says, thus saith the Lord. He might not even have anything to say, but he said, thus saith the Lord. Then the next things begin to follow, and the next thing begins to follow. So Balaam starts. He says, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of the man who hears the words of God. Oh, Satakaba, Lokaba Sataya, Yekakaka. Then he begins to prophesy. Yeah. Who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with the eyes wide open. Then verse 5, he begins to prophesy. He said, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Go ahead. Like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Oh, he shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Oh, ka-ra-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah. Now, this is Balaam's prophecy about Israel. When you look at yourself, you look at your life, you begin the utterance of Pastor Enoch, the son of God, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open. So you begin to prophesy because your eyes are open. Don't wait to see something open. You begin to declare it first, then you begin to prophesy. So right now, this is the time to prophesy. This is the time to have an utterance, because God has given you that gift of utterance. That utterance is there now. If you open your mouth, you will feel it now. Is it the utterance of the man whose eyes are open? Go ahead. Your future is in your mouth right now. Oh, your future is in your mouth right now. Your future is in your mouth right now. You first of all declare the utterance of Pastor Enoch, Satakaba, the son of God. The utterance of the man whose eyes are open. And with my open eyes, I see the field is green, ready for harvest. With my eyes wide open, I see the field. It is green and it's wide open.
He said, deep call up unto deep. From the noise of the water sprouts. Don't miss this opportunity. The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open. The utterance of the man who hears the words of God. Sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. Kolana Maseya. With my eyes wide open, I see the grace of God. I see the grace of God. Hey! Satele Baba. I see it. I see the nations calling. I see the nations calling.